everybody. Welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. I am Gabe, and I am here joined, as always, by the absolutely fantastic and ever so tired Jason.
I was gonna say, oh, go on, and then you went with the ever tired,
and then you're like, oh, stop.
Oh,
yeah. Dude, you got a newborn, man.
I do. She is something else, man. She just has captured my oldest daughter's heart and won't let go. And my oldest is now the second mother. She's watching her like a hawk, man. Like any move I try to make with her, she's like, "What are you doing with her? What are you doing with my sister?"
How old was your oldest when your second was born? She was three or two?
Two. She was two years and 2 days.
So she was like too little to really even be able to fully process the events of what was happening. But now.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a whole new world, man.
Oh yeah. It's fantastic. Like I know for my wife, it's going to be a huge help. Even those little things of, hey, I need to go use the bathroom. So to know, like, okay, if I put her in your arms for a minute, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to have to worry.
Or your little sister's going to be on tummy time. Can you just make sure that
come and
just watch her.
Yeah.
Or nothing terrible is going to happen. Uh-huh,
exactly. Or if something happens, you come and yell and tell me, and you know,
exactly. Oh man, it's huge. It's huge. So my oldest, when my second one was born, was also two. And that was super tough because they're so dependent. Now you have two people who are dependent on you. And it's crazy. I was going to tell you this. So you know, your first kid, you're playing double team defense here. So you got it between you and your wife. You've got it covered. And then the second one comes. And so it's tougher for sure because now you're on man to man. And you can't drop your guard. You've always got to be on guard because one of them is going to get by you otherwise, you know. So it's tough. But now, Jason, now you've got to switch to zone. It's a whole new game. It's a whole new game, you know?
That's what I hear.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I remember it being tough. But and then going to three, our kids were four, two, and then the newborn. And that was tough. But the four-year-old was able at that point to start doing some stuff. But I will say now with number four, who's 2 years old now, when he was born, it was unbelievable the amount of support and help that my older girls were. And even my son, to an extent, just by the mere fact that he wasn't quite as needy as he was even a year prior. So, yeah, no, your oldest is going to be just awesome. It's amazing to see, like, overnight, it's like things have changed and she's gone from being five to being like 15, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Just in maturity and stepping up, you know, and going to get a diaper or bring you the wipes or whatever it is, like the willingness and desire to be a part of what's going on is awesome. It's amazing to see that.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because the funny thing is they have no problem with poopy diapers so far. But when the newborn spat up, they both went, ooh. that was the line. That was like, nope.
You know, I mean, poop. They get poop because they poop, right?
Right.
But what is going on at the other end?
But just like, this like involuntary of, and they go, ooh, what the? She could do that? She does that? What the?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, hey, do you remember when my firstborn was born and you texted me? Do you remember this conversation that we had via text?
I think so. I remember saying congratulations, and then I remember saying a little bit about what it was going to be like.
So you were just you congratulated me. It was right when I got home. So just to make, I feel like Jim Gaffigan here, because I can relate to him whenever he talks about this, the bit about his four kids and having them at home with a midwife and stuff. We didn't have our kids at home. We had our kids at a pregnancy center, but we had a midwife, and you know, we were back home within 3 hours of the birth, and my family and our friends were all thinking we were crazy. But then, you know, I have you, Gabe, who completely understands where we're coming from and knew that, no, this is, many people do this, and we're cool with it. So
two of my kids were born in my house. So yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so you knew exactly where I was coming from. And I just remember you texting me, and you were like, "Hey, you know, congratulations, how you doing?" And it was so, it was just like a God moment. God definitely told you to text me at that moment, because it was right before you texted me. I was standing in my living room. My wife went to go use the restroom. I'm standing there in the middle of the room holding my newborn daughter, 3 hours old, and just realizing the overwhelming sense of fear and just the responsibility of I'm this child's father. And this knot in the pit of my stomach just was horrific, in just the bowels of my stomach. And I related this to you, and I just, your reply back was, yeah, that never goes away. But you learn to, you know, embrace it, and you actually kind of you enjoy it. It becomes like a friend. I was like, thanks, but I know exactly what you mean now. Like, just at the moment, I was just maybe laugh, and it just it's what I needed to hear. So thank you for that.
Well, it's good. It's a good feeling, man. It's good because you're so much more aware of what God is putting before you, and it's an ability or an opportunity to surrender and to say yes. And honestly, I mean, it's a purification. It's a letting go of the old life and picking up the new. And that, I think, flows right into chapter 5 of Introduction to the Devout Life. The first step, purifying the soul.
I was going to say, we can tie this in. It's the purification and call back to Monday's episode with the unmowed grass of lilies and daisies and flowers, man.
We're talking about flowers, man.
That's the theme for this week. So tell us about this chapter.
Yeah, so there's just so much, but in so little. But I love, he sets it up saying that, you know, when the daughter of a strange land was about to espouse an Israelite, the law commanded her to, you know, go through these different steps to let go of the past to be able to embrace the future. And St. Francis de Sales says, so the soul that aims at the dignity of becoming the spouse of Christ must put off the old man and put on the new man.
Yep.
And letting go of everything, sin, any impediment, anything that holds you back from the love of God, you've got to purge it. You've got to let it go. And so I think this builds so well on the previous chapter, where it talked about the need for a spiritual director or for a faithful friend that can guide you through the spiritual life. Someone who, like we talked about last week, can help call attention to your blind spots or to maybe some of these imperfections or some of these struggles that you were having that are holding you back, or that for whatever reason you're holding on to. And maybe you don't even fully realize it, but in order to go towards the devout life, that's definitely something that we have to undergo, is this process of purification.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway for me, and I'm kind of jumping right into it, is, and this is something I personally needed to hear right now, is this purification is slow and in stages.
Yes.
And you're not, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's not a one shot silver bullet. Here you go. Here's the one thing. And then you're going to be completely poof. You're going to be perfect. In fact, he spouts the complete opposite. He's like, the moment you think you're perfect is the moment you need to go to confession, because you know, that's not right.
Oh, I love how he spells out, like, St. Paul, St. Pelagia, you know, St. Catherine of Genoa, St. Magdalene. Like, these few people had this moment where there was instant purification, and that's about it, you know? So chances are it's not going to happen to you, you know? There's no magic, you know, pill, you know, there's no cure all here that's going to give you that instant fix. But man, how I wish there was, Jason. Wouldn't that be just so great? But no, it's the reality of, it is incremental and it is step by step. And then he goes back to the imagery of Jacob's ladder and the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder and saying, look, even though they have wings, they are still going step by step. Like, this is what it has to be for us. Step by step, gradually, and painfully. Delicious.
Who's ready to sign up?
Man, I can't wait. That sounds awesome.
Boy, sounds howdy. Awful. Sign me up.
Well, I mean, I think this is why he spent so much time saying the devout life is fantastic. You're going to want it.
Right.
You can't live without it, you know?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you what it's going to take, you know? it's going to take sacrifice and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be really tough. And the moment that you think you're there, guess what? You're not there, you know? And I love how he paints those two pictures there, like what you touched on of you're not there yet, but also the reality of, but don't give in to despair.
Right.
Like, don't think you're further along than you are, but don't think that you're further behind either. Don't just quit and give up.
Right.
You know, my kids, they're in, you know, sports and they're in school and they've got music stuff going on and, you know, they're at an age where they encounter difficulties with whatever it is they're going on, you know, oh, this music thing is harder or this thing in school is harder. And it's now. I was talking to my wife about this, that it's now that, the way we respond to this and encourage them to respond, that kind of lays that foundation to start to build habits that, when the going is tough, you know, the tough get going, right? You don't just quit. You don't just, you know, when the first sign of resistance go, well, you know, I didn't really want that anyway. Like my son is so easygoing. He's like so hard to discipline or give consequences to, because, you know, if you send him to his room or say, well, you can't have this or that, he's like, well, that's okay. You know, like, oh man, you know, and but then again, the other, which is great, it's a great disposition to have. But the flip side of that is, well, you know, this is a little bit hard. Do I really need it? You know, like, no, pursue, fight through, grow. And St. Francis de Sales here says, don't just despair. Don't just write it off. Don't just say, well, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to be able to do it, but fight through it for sure. And so, yeah, he touches on both edges there that you could easily fall off into.
And this is so important when we're dealing with holiness, because again, we think of holiness as you have to be perfect. And I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the podcast or not yet, but if I have already, sorry, you're going to hear it again. I remember a couple of weeks ago, just because it's really stuck with me, is, you know how we, and this is from a Monsignor that gave a homily. He's like, you know how you know that the Bible, especially the Old Testament, but really the whole Bible, do you know how we know that that's been divinely inspired? Because there's a lot of sin with a lot of holy people. Like, mm-hmm. Do you think David would have kept that whole part in about his whole adultery?
Bathsheba.
And, no, of course not. Like, any person. And he talks about how, you know, he's like, that's why it's really hard for him to read a lot of sometimes, you know, 19th century and early 20th century bios of saints, because they're just so syrupy and so almost fake, where it's like, how can I even look to this person and go, there's no way I could ever be like this person. They are too good. They are too holy. Yet, you know, thanks be to God, no, I've not committed adultery with another woman against my wife. But that doesn't mean that I don't have my fair of sins. But if God can still love David and still, you know, fulfill his promises with David, even after the horrible atrocities he had, you know what? My sins, God will forgive those as well. And the part that it gets me is Francis Sales says, moreover, imperfections and venial sins cannot destroy our spiritual life, which is only to be lost through mortal sin. Consequently, we have only need to watch well that they do not imperil our courage. And I love that part, just because so many times we could be too scrupulous, I think, especially when we're trying to uproot a habitual sin that's in our lives, whether it's gossip or pornography addiction or masturbation or lying or stealing or alcohol or fill in the blank. We can get so like, okay, this time I'm going to be perfect and I'm not going to do this. And then we become so scrupulous to when we fall or we give in to that venial sin, then we're gonna be like, oh gosh, I'm a horrible sinner and I'm never gonna get, and I just, and like you said, and then just give up.
Yeah. And I want to be very clear with what you were mentioning just now. You're not saying every single one of those things are venial sins.
No,
because there's definitely some mortal ones that you mentioned.
Sure.
But what we're talking about is the idea of battling addiction, and habit.
Sure. So let me give an example, a quick example. Yeah. So like, okay, pornography, you know, if someone is suffering from the addiction of looking at pornography and they're trying their best to live a holy life and to get rid of this mortal sin of looking at pornography, the venial sin of that could be, you know, you had a dream that night. A very tantalizing dream, if you will, or you see someone walking by, or you see something on television, or something that's, you know, a little
some
bit
kind
more,
of a thought jumps into your head, yes, and you're trying to push it out.
It's a little bit more sexually promiscuitive, and you're like,
sure, sure.
Oh my gosh, I thought I lingered on that thought. Oh no, I'm a horrible person.
And there's the venial sin of that for sure. Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that's kind of where I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah. I just wanted to give some clarity.
No,
there,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
That what you're not saying is that everything that you just mentioned, yeah, and some of the stuff is, but not everything that you just mentioned is, right, is venial. I also love how you went to the example that are going to have kids asking their parents questions when they listen to this podcast together. So that's always a fun moment as a parent to have to explain something to their kids. So sorry about that, guys. Anyway, no, but you're absolutely right about the struggle. And you know, he talks about how we have to keep battling against it, that our very perfection lies in diligently contending against them, that we have to keep going. And, but it's impossible to contend with them without seeing them. It's impossible to overcome them without meeting them face to face, that we have to, if this is your battle, whether it be any of the stuff that Jason mentioned or even something else, like, you know, it sounds like the 12-step program, the first step here is to admit that you have a problem. Like, you have to be able to see that. And so, again, this is where having people involved in your life come into play, like your family, your loved ones, your friends, a spiritual director. And this is also this is absolutely imperative. Like, you can't live in the dark. You know, if there's any type of a behavior or action that you're doing that nobody knows about but you, then that's probably wrong. And it's something that you got to let go. Like, if it's something that you're not comfortable with anyone knowing, there's a reason for that. You know, we need to be able to live our lives in a way that, that we would be able to, share it with our most trusted family or friends, you know, that we know aren't going to, take advantage of our vulnerability, so that they can, out of love and through grace, especially through like the sacrament of marriage and the grace that comes from that, be able to say, you know what, that's not good. And I really think that this is something that I know that you're better than, and I'm praying for you and I love you. But yeah, no, we have to be able to get to that point so people can help us to confront these things, because sometimes I think we have blind spots on accident. And sometimes we have blind spots because we put them up there ourselves and force them on.
I don't know if you want this part to be on the podcast. So afterwards, if you want me to cut this, I will. But to kind of put a bow on this final thought that I had, is certain things when we're trying to strive for holiness, and going back to certain, you know, if you have an addiction to something, you had mentioned, you know, 12-step program and things like that, beyond having someone to talk to, whatever, sometimes you're going to need further help and assistance, i.e. professional help, whether it's counseling or therapy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So don't ever feel like, well, I'm going to confession to, you know, try to get rid of the sin. That's great. Praise God. Sanctifying grace can do a lot for you. But there may be something much deeper that subconsciously that you haven't really tapped into or thought about or just whatever it is. So, you know, please, if you're listening to this, you know, as Gabe said, just you need to find someone, whether that is a close, close friend, if you're married, your spouse, or it, to go even further, if you need some type of licensed counselor, therapist, someone along those lines to really help you with this, because all these things will help you obtain what you ultimately desire, which is holiness at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And if you have, you know, this good and faithful friend that St. Francis de Sales is talking about in the previous chapter, or a spouse, or you know, someone that you trust that loves you and wants the best for you, or even a regular confessor, after time, you know, one of these people, I would hope, would say, you know, you may need to talk to someone here to go a little bit deeper. You know, we are complex, Jason. There's not, like, we're just not simple. There's no simple solutions, you know. There's no simple solutions to complex problems. And I don't want to sound trite or cliche in that kind of an answer, but
sure.
I mean, definitely go to confession. You know, that's a must. That has to happen. I think recognizing you have a problem and then admitting to it and asking for forgiveness is imperative. But you know, one of the things that you pray in the act of contrition is to avoid whatever leads you to sin, right? And sometimes that means we have to dig a little bit deeper into root causes, so we don't go down certain paths anymore. Like, why are we doing things? Why are we reacting in certain ways? What are our triggers? You know, especially in the case of someone who struggles with some kind of an addiction, you know, what sets me off down that road, down that path? If I'm truly trying to avoid what leads me to sin, then it also means I need to spend some time with the question of what does lead me into that sin and what can I do about that? And so, yeah, no, I think that's just good and important. And, just like, you know, you would take out, you would have a private lesson teacher if you're pursuing some kind of a, you know, musical endeavor, or you would have a personal trainer if you're going to the gym. Like, it makes a lot of sense to get someone to help coach you or help you as you're trying to, you know, learn healthy ways to deal with life struggles, because life has struggles, you know, like, hard times come. It's just the reality of it. So do we know healthy ways to deal with those things? And yeah, I know someone who's struggling in the throes of addiction for sure. Sometimes, you know, we talk about what qualifies for a mortal sin. And I know that there's some question with the idea of, like, you know, does an addict actually have full consent? And I think the question here is, are we knowingly putting ourselves in a position to where that could even be a question? You know what I mean? Like, let's just try and avoid that from the beginning by scooting way back, taking a macro view of the situation, talking to someone we trust, going to get help if we need it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great good. It can be a great good for many, many people. And just trying to be the best people that we can be, you know, the best version of ourselves, right? or ultimately, like St. Catherine of Siena says, you know, if we were who we were created to be, we would set the world ablaze. Well, let's work to get to who God created us to be then in all facets of our life. So, and I know St. Francis de Sales, like, knows this, says this, that, like, the spiritual life is not, it's not just spiritual, Jason. Because we're not just spirits, like, we are body and we are soul. And if we have this amazing prayer life, but we are treating ourselves, our bodies, like garbage with the way that we treat it with either sleep or food or drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever it is, it's hard to square that circle. These two things can't live in a perfect union. You can't have this amazing devout life where you're soaring on the wings of an eagle or like an eagle up into the heavens, ascending up Jacob's ladder, and at the same time, your body is you're treating it like anything but a temple. Like, you can't live in that type of discord. So yeah, no, we have to look at the whole picture and be healthy and deal and contend with these imperfections in every facet of our lives.
I went down the rabbit hole of YouTube the other day about boot camp, various boot camps with the Navy, the Marines, all that kind of stuff. And I also looked up what the minimum standard is for an active military person in the various branches of, you have to do this many sit-ups, push-ups, and a mile and a half, or if you're in the Marines, I think it's 2 or 2.5 miles, and then some branches have more, some have less, and like that's the baseline that you have to fulfill, otherwise you'll be disciplined within that. And you know, I don't know why I was never in the military, and thanks be to God, my country and many men and women have sacrificed so that I don't have to be forced into that.
Yeah, amen.
But there is,
we don't want you out there.
Lord knows they don't need me with a rifle in my hands. But in all seriousness, though, I think even though I wasn't in the military, I'm drawn to it. Not so much of guns or maneuvers or tactics, but just the sense of duty, honor, discipline.
Discipline. I was going to say discipline.
Unit.
There's something about that kind of a regimented, structured, disciplined. You're part of something bigger than you. Like, I think that speaks to all of us that we want, at least to men in particular, but I think it's to the human condition that we desire to be part of something larger. And we are,
right?
Like, that's the thing. It's like, we are the church, you know, like, that life is there for us, but it doesn't look the same.
Right.
But there are a lot of similarities there in the tenets. And like, a lot of what you're saying, a lot of what you're putting down, I'm picking up, because I also like, it speaks to the core of who we are. Yeah.
Well,
something about the structure, the discipine,
the whole point. Yeah. I mean, the whole point of military, especially boot camp stuff, is to break the person down, is to break them down to basically nothing so they can rebuild them back up. And what we're talking about here in striving for holiness and working our way to heaven is, first and foremost, we have to take inventory of ourselves and be willing to be broken down, to be willing to be shattered of our greed, of our envy, of our jealousy, of our pride, of our selfishness, of all of those sins. And this is where, and for whatever reason, we stop doing it. And this is one thing that I want to start taking up more and more, is a daily examination of conscience. And really examine one conscience, and to break me down and to really shatter that pride and all those sins that I have, in order to rebuild myself back up in those virtues that God has blessed me with.
Yeah. 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 You know, and that's just to get back to the book here. We have to let go of the old man to be able to embrace the new man. And we have to, and I just want to say, reiterate, I should say, that this is not fast. This is not a fast process. It is slow. It is grueling. It is step by step. So we desire this change. We want to be broken down. We want to let go of all these things. But we also have to be willing to endure the process that it's going to take to do those things and not become too discouraged at the speed that we're going. And again, not think we're there, you know, too soon. So, one foot in front of the other, my friend.
And the last point that I was going to bring up, and to kind of round up my thought, was, why do they have boot camp? It's because they are preparing for a battle. And we as Catholics know we are baptized into the battle, that there is a battle for our souls and there is a real spiritual battle. The lines have been drawn. Christ has told us as much. And this is the very, I mean, this ties in with Francis Sales, the very last part that he says in this chapter, where he says, and it is our privilege in this war that we are certain to vanquish so long as we are willing to fight.
Mm. I highlighted that in my book.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so long as we are willing to fight.
Yep.
So, Jason, we got to fight, man.
Put up your dukes.
No, listen, though. The military, you're not a lone ranger. There's not just one soldier off on their own. Like, yeah, you are part of a team. Like, and so I have to be willing to fight, but I can't fight by myself. Like, I have to fight side by side next to you, mm-hmm, so that when I struggle or when I have doubt or when I have despair, you're there to say, Gabe, keep going. And likewise, that I can say, Jason, it's all right, man. Embrace that pit in your stomach, you know, and yeah, just keep slogging through it, and you'll get used to it and actually see it for the good that it can be, and how it's shaping you, you know. We've just got to get after it. We can't quit.
Because
we can't just give up.
And to add to what you're saying is we also have to remember that saints didn't become saints all on their own. They didn't just, not only were they, yes, born, but they weren't in an island where they didn't learn from another saint or a saintly person, you know?
Yeah.
So let us strive to be those saintly people and to seek out those people. Because the more we seek out people like-minded and are in the fight with us, they don't have to be perfect. They know that they're not perfect, but they're willing to put in the fight.
And if you gotta try. Fight,
yeah.
That's the thing. You've just gotta try. Like, you're not in the fight if you're not trying.
Mm-hmm.
So get in the game, right? Get off the bench, get in the game, and just start fighting. Just try your best, and it's incremental. Like, we're not asking for drastic stuff. God is not asking for drastic stuff. St. Francis de Sales says it's not going to happen that way.
Right.
It's going to be step by step, and sometimes those are big, huge steps, and sometimes those are like tiny, fractional steps, but it's still progress nonetheless. When you were talking earlier about the saints and how you sometimes the newer bios that are written that are kind of syrupy and sappy, and it's like, well, that's not an actual depiction of who they are. And I was thinking, you know, when we think of a saint, we see this person that is already at the mountaintop. You know, they're there, they made it. That's what we see. And it's really easy just to go, oh man, look at them. They're so great. They probably had an easy time of it. And we're like at the base of the mountain or working our way up the mountain, and, you know, and we're having a hard time. There's places that, you know, it's tough footing, or a creek we have to cross, or, you know, places we have to backtrack, and man, it's tough. And we look up there and go, ah, they didn't have any of the problems that we had. Look at them. But the reality is, of course they did. Of course they did. The difference is they didn't quit. They kept fighting. They kept going up. They encountered the same, you know, loose footing problems that we had. The same, oh no, this isn't really a trail. I've got to get back and get back on the, you know, main trail. Like the challenges were still there, and we just don't see those. We didn't see those steps. We see the mountaintop, but we can't forget the journey that they had to take to get there, and the struggles and the failures, and ultimately the successes that came through those. That we can't ever lose sight of, and we've got to cling to those as we go through our own struggle, our own journey, together, lifting ourselves up, pushing ourselves on, encouraging each other, rallying each other when we're feeling down. We've got to fight, and we can't quit, man. This is too big of a deal. It's the devout life, bro.
Amen.
You're all in or you're not, you know? But otherwise, no, I don't have really anything about this chapter, Jason. You got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with us and listening to us rant and rave at times. But more than anything, thanks for being in the fight with us. Thanks for taking those steps with us and being willing to struggle, being willing to pick up your cross. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you for doing that. And please pray for us. Pray for Jason and pray for me. And we'll pray for you. And please, please leave a review. Give us 5 stars because, you know, you want to. And please share this with your family, with your friends, or with anybody else that you think wants to get in the fight and that this may be a benefit to them. So I guess if you've got nothing else, Jason, love you. Bye.
I do not. Good night. Love you. Bye.